This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. And thank you for joining us. Every once in a while, actually not too long of a great while, I'll be at a restaurant or I'll be at the bank in line, and I'll notice maybe the guy in front of me is standing back maybe, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 feet from the counter. And the thing that comes to my mind is, you know, during those COVID years, back in 2020, everybody was supposed to distance at least 6 feet away from each other. And what comes to my mind when I see that is programming. Setting all the arguments about COVID aside, if it was programming, we were being programmed to distance ourselves, to isolate, to back off, to stay away from people. Even sometimes you even see that on the road where it seems like people just stay far, far away when you're driving. And I think, were we being programmed at that time? And then I think we always have to think of, what am I buying into? How am I living my life? Am I letting the world and its messages affect me too much? So we don't need to stand back 8 feet from the cash register. We don't need to step back 6 or 7 feet from people, but that's still lingering out there. And what it feels to me like, what part of the enemy might have been doing at that time was to drive more and more people into isolation, into living in their own head, into living life on their own. And I've mentioned how when I go and speak, I'll ask people at the church to raise their hand if they meet with another brother or sister in Christ once a week for the purpose of support, accountability, and prayer. And usually only about 15% on average, put their hands up. I was in a church in England earlier this year, and I asked that question. Only one hand went up. That's not the way we're meant to live the Christian life. He who isolates himself quarrels against all sound wisdom. That's Proverbs 18:1. Every one of you should be connected to another brother, sister, or a group on an ongoing basis, especially during these days when things are so dark and we need that support. It's just so desperate. You do not want to be caught in this time trying to figure out life on your own. And have you ever noticed that one of the most miserable places to be is living in your own head, especially when you do it week after week and you don't have another brother or sister you can talk to like, just pour your guts out and get their feedback? And yeah, we need to talk to our spouse, and that's great, but sometimes somebody isn't emotionally invested can make a really big difference. They can see things that others can't in our family because they're not so emotionally drawn into it. So watch your programming. And even when we go into church, you have to ask yourself, how am I being programmed? And I know now we're starting to get in a little risky area, but so a lot of churches will do that thing where they say, turn around and greet the person next to you. And then everybody immediately puts on this cheery, happy smile out of nowhere. You know, pops up and says, hi, how you doing? And immediately turn around and say, hi, how you doing to the next person? And then you sit down. So what are we being programmed to do? we're not being taught to connect, but basically to just stay in our little comfortable bubbles on Sunday when we do that. So if you want to help people to break out of their hole, out of their mind even, take 20 minutes during a church service and break it up and have people share and pray. It will make an amazing difference, I know, because I do it when I go and speak. So today I'm going to be talking about steps to freedom from pornography. This is one of the biggest issues in the church today, with ongoing surveys showing that huge numbers of men, women, or youth are struggling with pornography. And so there's always a great need to equip people in this area. And so I'm going to just jump right in right now. And this is going to be in the context of a man and a wife. And that doesn't set youth aside or single people aside, not at all. But most of the people who come to us for help are married, and that's because most men wait until they get caught in their marriage before they get serious about getting help. Does not mean single people don't get serious, not at all. But our ministry is both to the husband and the wife, so it'll be from that context. So first off, single, married, or not, all lying must stop. So from the very beginning, when we start acting out with porn, we do it in the dark. We do it alone. Nobody else is there. So we're literally teaching ourselves to lie and hide in the shadows and deceive. That's being worked into our character every single time we binge on that stuff. And the way we undo all that damage is we start telling the truth. So men, if your wife asks you a question, do not lie. Tell her the truth. Lying causes more pain than what the actual sin was. A lot of wives have said, I'd rather him tell me the truth so I know what to deal with. Don't lie. No matter what she asks you, do not lie. Next, take ownership. Some people blame their wives for their porn or sexual sin. Well, if you weren't quieter, or if you weren't more supportive, or if you weren't giving me more sex, or whatever the excuse is, I wouldn't be doing this. That's a lie, and it's manipulation, and it's pride, and it's arrogance. Because what we're really saying, this is all your fault. And I don't know of any wife who's ever taken a gun to her husband's head and said, hey, I want you to go binge on porn right now. That's the last thing she wants. And this is sidestepping the responsibility of our choice to sin. We choose to sin. Even though we may be in bondage to it, in the end, we're the ones who give up. Our spouses do not make us go out and do that. So take ownership. No blaming of the spouse. Next, you must meet with a group or another man at least once a week, every single week for the rest of your life. When I say for the rest of your life, this doesn't mean that you have to go to a recovery group, but that you will never, ever go back to isolation ever again. You must be connected to another brother consistently for the rest of your life. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your sins, plural, ongoing. It's not a one-off or a one-time deal. It's something we need to do consistently. Isolation feeds lust. It feeds sin. Go read Psalm 31, where David said what an incredible relief it was when he finally opened up and admitted his sin. I mean, Nathan nailed him and had to confront him, but still, it was a relief to just let that go. You need other brothers in your court. You need to be a part of a tribe. Ladies, wives, same for you too. You need the support of another wife, especially one who's either going through what you are or has already been there. So men and women, we have groups for men and wives that go through the week, including prayer groups. Contact us and get plugged in. It's a safe way to go, because let's be honest, a lot of churches aren't safe places to share. You share with the wrong person, they'll look at you like, you know what they're thinking, like, hey, this dude's a pervert or something, and they don't want to hear it. They don't want anything to do with it. They just want to do their safe little Bible studies and move on and not have anybody bother them with anything that makes them squirm. And who knows, maybe they're in that mess too, and you're convicting them by even pulling it out. So contact us. The contact information is the end of the broadcast. Get plugged in. Do not sit there and wallow in isolation. That's a big mistake. And you know what? I tried that. I tried to do it on my own. I tried to do it yourself, fix it yourself, Christian way, decades ago. It don't work. I needed help. I needed God. I needed Jesus with skin on. You need Jesus with skin on. And then Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Confession of your sin is the way to healing and to mercy from God and from others who are safe people. And tragically, I hate it, but there are just a lot of people in the church that aren't safe. They're too arrogant, pride, or just fearful, or whatever. So you do have to use wisdom and discretion, and that's why what we have to offer you is a safe way to go. And these groups are attended by people all over the world, literally. So, again, contact us. Don't sit there and wallow. And we have a new group now for women who struggle with pornography and sexual sin. Contact us to get plugged into that. Women, the female is the fastest growing gender as far as porn use in the church. It's doubled. Women struggling with porn have doubled in the last 20 years. So, ladies, same thing for you. You need support. You need the help of others. Next, cut it off. Matthew 5:27-30. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out. Throw it away, for it's better that you lose one of your members, that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away, for it's better that you lose one of your members, that your whole body go into hell. He's not talking about cutting limbs off here. That's not going to help against a heart problem anyways. He's talking about taking radical action against the stumbling blocks of temptation that are under your control. So if you're at home and watching Netflix is a problem, shut down that subscription. Or HBO or whatever it is. If you have a problem with binging on your smartphone, then you need to put some kind of app on it or downgrade to a dumb phone. There's plenty of apps out now there nowadays that can help you with that. But don't just sit there and do nothing. I've seen that problem with plenty of men over the years that, classic Christian cop-out. I'll pray about it, you know, some weak wuss response. And what they're really saying is, I don't want to give this up. There's certain things we need to pray about, and there's some things it's like God is saying, do this, quit playing games, and you need to do it and do it now. And we're just riding the fence trying to have God's forgiveness and as much sin as we can. And that doesn't work. That's like having an affair, a spiritual affair, idolatry. It doesn't work. You got to choose which one you want. So which one do you want? Do you want as much porn as you want? Or you do want to go all the way with God? You can't have them both. I know. I tried for years. It was a place of misery. It was horrible. I felt empty and miserable all the time. Sin just does not work for a believer, and God will let you have as much of him as you want, and he'll let you have as much of sin as you want. You can have as much lust, porn, anger, pride, fear, jealousy, bitterness. You can have as much of all that as you want. No one will make you give it up. you have to choose to lay it down or to butcher it, to crucify it. So you have to take action steps. You have to do whatever it takes to break free. There's a lot on the line here. And some might say, well, those verses of Matthew 5, those are just for unbelievers, in which I say, oh, really? I don't buy that. And he's talking about how dangerous it is, for it's better that you lose one of your members, that your whole body be thrown into hell. This is a warning for everyone. There are those verses later on, the sexually immoral shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're throwing yourself into sexual sin and there's no conviction and there's no remorse and your heart is rock hard, that's a dangerous place to be. Very dangerous. Because one day you may wake up and you're 25 miles from God. That doesn't mean he doesn't want to rescue you. He does. He rescues lost sheep. Lost people, his heart is to bring you to repentance and to heal you. But when he holds his hand out, you got to hold yours out and take it. You can't just sit there and waiting for a thunderbolt, silver bullet Bible verse to set you free. You got to take his hand and say, okay, God, I'm ready to do life your way. I surrender to you. Be Lord of my life. I've had enough of doing this my way. Of doing the Christian life the flesh way, my way. It doesn't work. Of being miles away from you. I'm sick of it. I've had enough of it. Take his hand and walk with him. For by grace we are saved. Let him minister to you, but you got to surrender. And cry out to him for mercy. God, my heart wants this garbage. My heart loves this garbage. My flesh, I mean, would you please create in me a clean heart and help me, God? I'm in a bad place. I believe those are the prayers from a crying out heart that he answers. Also, get off social media. Every time we hit on porn, the dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter connected to pleasure in the brain, fires. You hit that enough, and then you get into dopamine deficit, and you can struggle with depression and anxiety. So what are you doing when you're looking for pornography? Scroll, scroll, scroll. And then, boom, you find a picture. And then a little dopamine hit. Scroll, scroll, scroll. Same thing with social media. Scroll, scroll, scroll. Oh, that's interesting. Little dopamine hit. Okay, that one's done. Scroll, scroll. Oh, look. Wow, that's interesting. And the next thing you know, you dropped an hour or two and you've wasted your time. And you know how it feels like when you watch TV for 3 or 4 hours and you turn the TV off and you have that really crummy feeling like, ew. So you see smartphones and TVs, watching that stuff, watching anything, that doesn't restore. Those aren't the things in life that give us peace and joy and beauty. Maybe walking outside or walking in the sunshine or going to a beach or going to the mountains or walking in the desert or having fun with your spouse. Those are the things that give life, but not sitting there for hours on your smartphone, especially not going after your porn. The brain does not know the difference between surfing on social media versus looking for porn. So you're triggering your brain to look for porn when you're on social media. You want to get off of it for a while. Next, exercise. Many use pornography or something like it for a stress relief. They start going through a rough time and, okay, I'm going to turn to my Band-Aid and I'm going to masturbate to porn and that's going to help me feel better. Yeah, that lasts for about 10 seconds and then you crash for about 4 days with that miserable shame hangover. It doesn't work. So instead, start exercising consistently. 3-4 times a week, something that really gets your blood pumping. I like to mix in a little bit of cardio with weightlifting. Even though, and I've got long COVID, but I'm not going to stop with that. We have to keep ourselves in shape, but exercise is good for your brain. It's great for your body. It's a great stress reliever. You feel better, where when you're on the phone for 5 hours, you feel worse when you're done with all that. get off your phone. That doesn't mean don't ever use it. It means if you're one of the average Americans who spends 5 hours a day on their phone, you're not in a good place. That thing is more like an idol to you now. Next, gratitude. Gratitude rewires the brain. It really lights up your brain. So when you're saying, thank you, God, for my wife, thank you for good health, thank you for my job, thank you that you're always with me, thank you for forgiving my sins, if you just start running off things you're thankful for, it changes your mood. I like in the mornings to spend a little bit of time thanking God for certain things, and it's a fantastic way to begin the day. The first 10 minutes of your day can set your whole mood depending on what you do. And you do not want to go off to turn on your stupid phone first thing when you wake up. Keep that thing off. Spend time just praising and thanking God. God, I want to be with you today. I invite you into my day today. God, I love you. Please be with me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for rescuing me from the stupid mistakes I made. Thank you, God. Gratitude is such a big deal. Sometimes we focus too much on what we don't have instead of just saying, thank you for what I do have. He never said he would give us our wants, but he provides our needs. Next, restore sex in marriage. And unfortunately, what pornography does is it reverses the sex drive. So the man actually starts wanting porn more than he wants his wife. And I've had couples in front of me, and they haven't had sex for years. And I'm telling them, you need to fire up your sex life again. And the guy has this blank look on his face, like, what am I talking about? And the wife is looking at him like, what the heck happened to you? I want to have sex with you. And he's kind of like lost. And this is what pornography does to them. Not to everyone, but it's a sex killer. I mean, when you tell your wife you're masturbating to porn, that's not going to warm her up to you. So you need to move toward restoring sex in the marital bed. And this doesn't apply to people who aren't married. There's a lot of Christians who are shacking up and having sex with people they're not married to. One survey showed that around half of today's professing Christians say that casual sex or sex outside is out of marriage is okay as long as you know who the person is. Or if you read your Bible, you're going to see that, that doesn't fly. That's sin. So if you're not married, sex gets set aside. Don't do that. That bond is for marriage only between one man and one woman. But in 1 Corinthians 7, God tells us, stop depriving each other. Man and woman, stop depriving each other. Move toward each other. Restoring sex in the marriage bed is an important part of your healing process. And if you need to, talk about it, get some help, get some counseling. I think the record that I've seen for a couple who hadn't had sex was 8 years. So this gives you an idea how bad this can be. Next, deal with the heart wounds. I would say everyone I've worked with, man or woman, they have always had, there's always a set of 8 to 12 lies that have been buried in their heart for years, usually since childhood. And it's these lies that is driving everything. It drives sin. It drives anger. It drives isolation. It drives all that stuff. And what did Satan destroy the human race with? Go and read Genesis. 2 sentences. And there was just lies, and that was it. He didn't even have to throw a sword or throw a spear or anything. It was just all it takes is a couple lies to do a lot of damage in the heart. So get some help on resolving that, on bringing those things to the light, on breaking those agreements with those lies, and having somebody help you be free from that bondage. And that's a part of what we do. And I see this all the time. And finally, restore your connection with God. Learn to rest in silence with Him. hear his voice. Slow down, stop. A lot of people today do not know the first thing about rest. And I'm talking to you, Christian. When I ask people in our questionnaire, when's the last time you spent an hour alone with God? In many cases, it's been a long time. We need to flip our schedule from hours with our phone to hours with God. We need to draw close to him, learn to walk with him, and to hear his voice, to receive his love and grace, and to live in it, to bask in it, to enjoy it. So, my friends, get in touch with us if you need help. We have groups and counseling and so much more. Thank you for joining me. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.